Hello, everybody, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics. I am Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And this is July 24th, 2019.
Yeah.
And you should be terrified.
I am. I don't know. I just feel like I sounded scared for some reason.
You should be. There are so many comics.
Yes.
It's terrifying.
The weight of these comics.
The weight of the comics on my soul.
On the soul. It's a soul crushing.
It's a burden.
Pile.
It's amazing. There's so much awesome stuff.
Yeah, there is actually a lot of good stuff.
This is a crazy, crazy week. Some of the biggest things going are coming out this week.
Some bombs have dropped.
Yeah, everybody's putting out their A game this week. So let's talk about some stuff.
All right, should we talk about White Knight first?
Sure, we might as well talk about that.
And that's near and dear to our hearts.
It is near and dear to our hearts. So Sean Murphy is continuing the White Knight saga with Curse of the White Knight. It is a throwback to the history of the Waynes, going back to Arkham and another person whose name I can't remember.
To the 1600s.
This is
Wayne who enters Gotham.
Correct. And someone else who is a relative of someone else, and some other things that will be revealed that yes. are fun and awesome. And
yes.
I think I just might. Nope. I think I didn't say anything.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know. We'll just move past that point.
Yeah, it's awesome. There's so much great stuff. This book is great.
Yeah.
The art is wonderful.
It is.
And everything is
the story is great.
It's as good or better than the first one.
I found it really accessible. I found it like, even though the first one is like all the details, the finer details of it are kind of like soft in my mind because I read 4 billion comics a week.
Yeah.
I found the exposition of this book to be not overbearing, which is a trick
absolutely.
In itself. So, you know, you can pick it up even if you never read the first one. You could pick this up and know what's happening. And it was really good. And the art is really good. And it was fun. I liked it. In the same way that Peter Milligan Batman story where that Grant Morrison picked up the threads on, like it goes, you know, just like that going back into the deep history of or the Court of Owls stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's a good tack on Batman to do that. As opposed to like getting all mysticism and like,
absolutely.
You know, it's just like, here's this cool kind of occultish angle,
yeah.
but that it also keeps it like grounded.
I can't wait until this is done so I can talk about the whole thing. And also I want to have Sean here so that we can talk about it because there was a pitch for this before this happened that basically me, Sean, and I think Ross was there as well. We were out drinking and we were helping him pitch this thing and it is not what came out. We were doing some other thing entirely that was ridiculous, but it has a vague tie into this. And I just feel like I can't talk about even that ridiculousness beforehand. But once it's done, I think we can all talk about it.
Then the ridiculousness can.
Yeah,
be
it was very funny. It was very funny and had some really good ideas. And I would never, ever get published. Basically, I think he was like, you know, if you like it, that means that it's never going to get published.
Can I just say that I picked the cover that had like a specific cover that I liked the best, but it has the Joker wearing a Batman t-shirt and suspenders, and I think this is in his belly button's out, and I think it's a good look for the Joker. I think they should really adopt this as like his like go-to, the Joker look. I think it's good. It's a good vig.
It is. It's really nice. And all of our copies are signed. They're all online as well. So we have a bunch of signed copies and whatnot. Sean came in today and signed up a giant pile of them. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Nice guy.
He is a wonderful person, especially if he's listening.
There's also another Batman comic out this week, which has the Joker. It is called Detective Comics 1008. It is drawn by Doug Monk, and it was pretty cool. Kind of a throwback to the Killing Joke. Nice art, fun kind of thing.
How about another one from a friend of ours?
Ooh, friends of ours.
Yes, the Electric Black number 2 is out.
Yee.
Another scary horror anthology by Joseph Schmalke and Rich Woodall.
Sorry, I jumped it with that Detective Comics. I should have just gone.
Oh no, that's fine. This is this is again really really crazy shit as always. Scout Comics, Joe Schmalke.
Yeah, Joe Schmaltke. Speaking of really super nice guys.
Yeah, and Schmaltke's doing
who
some.
Who are also super talented
he's
artists.
He's doing some cool stuff. He's done some really great, like, he's doing some backing cards for Super 7, and he's doing, like, a bunch of crazy art. He's been doing, like, Alien t-shirts for a couple of places and Alien and Predator shirts. And
nice.
Yeah, he's been getting great work, and he deserves it. He's got a really cool style, and he's got crazy ideas, and he's a crazy person. And every time, then he is constantly threatening to beat me up online.
Oh, well, that's kind of strange. He shouldn't do that. I did really, so I like that.
Ironically, I assume.
I like the Electric Black format of two stories in one issue, two kind of creative visions, and just that kind of old school horror kind of comic stuff. I think is really cool. It was fun. Fun, good fun read.
Fun, good fun. So Scooby-Doo is teaming up with Metamorpho, the Element Man.
Okay. Metamorpho is my favorite superhero. I'm sorry. I had to bring it.
Yeah, of course.
It's crazy. I didn't, you know, I'm not going to buy it or anything. It's too goofy, but it was really crazy.
Retamorpho? My favorite line of dialogue.
Oh, wait. No, there's
Retamorpho. No, your favorite line of dialogue is...
Metamorpho says no.
Metamorpho says no.
Which, fun trivia about me, my favorite superhero comic story of all time is called Metamorpho Says No. And it's because Metamorpho was like, the Justice League was like, hey, Metamorpho, you're the cool hero on the blog. You should join our club. And he's like basically both barrels, like middle fingered at him. No thanks. I don't want to be a superhero. I hate this. And then they fight a guy who's literally a scribble with the powers of God. Name the unimaginable. It's pretty great.
He's like Doodle Bob.
Yeah, you should definitely check out that comic. It's called Justice League number 42, Metamorphosis.
Doodle God.
It's great.
Speaking of things that are great.
This, I keep hitting this. Am I unplugging the
Not so quite yet. I don't think
really
so.
Sorry.
I think we're good so far. We'll
see. I'm going to just keep my hand on under my leg.
Yeah, that's fine.
I will just sit on it, and I will not hit the microphone again. I've already done it 3 times.
Okay, I think that's fine. I think the important ones are on the other side.
So, History of the Marvel Universe, is that what
History
this is
History of the Marvel Universe, number one by Mark Waid, Javier Rodriguez, and Alvaro Lopez.
I like Rodriguez. He's from, he did Exiles. He's
yeah,
the artist
and
from Exiles.
This art Great. Is so cool.
Yeah. This was really, this is cool. Like a Marvel, it's like... Like a Marvel handbook, but also kind of done in like a narrative style. So you get
definitely
like,
they took a clue from Grand Design.
Oh yeah,
there's definitely a little bit of a clue taken from that, which is a cue taken from that. But that's great.
But it's less of a like arty
right.
kind of take.
It's more straightforward.
Of like a standard. But it's cool, you know. If you're like, you know, how do you compress 80 plus publishing years of history into something that's usable for like a guidebook for people who are making Marvel comics. And that was fun.
It's so cool. So cool.
And you get to see all your favorites like the Inbetweener and Galactopus and
Galactopus, my favorite.
Actually that's the guy from Spider-Verse. But Galactus. There's all kinds of cosmic guys in this cuz it's like the origins and then it goes up through like Rawhide Kid and like
and that gross Eon thing.
I think the last
eye.
Panel is of Wolverine in World War II. So I think mm-hmm. they're getting up through the next issue will probably be like a big World War II focus. Cuz that's where it starts getting superhero-y. But
yeah.
This is like the cosmic stuff. You got Agamotto, you got some of the X-Men people like Celine
Dion.
Celine Dion, the classic X-Men villain.
Classic X-Men villain.
Next up we have Wonder Woman number 75, which was the Amazons are back. And this is that. It's a big exercised Wonder Woman issue because for some reason all the DC number 75s are exercised in the same way that... I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a history for like 25s and 50s, and like 50 seems more of like a exercise issue worthy to me. But 25 and 75, I'm just kind of like, really.
I like it when they go overboard, like Venom when Remender was doing it. He did like an issue 27 or something.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Like,
see, that's
big
great.
Oversized issue 27.
Well, it's like yeah, like that's what annuals used to be. Like,
right.
Just like
I know.
You know, it's cool to have a good special issue every once in a while. I think sometimes they're maybe pushing it. Also, Flash is out this week, and that is also a number 75 that is extra.
Yes.
Extra.
Extra sized.
Fully
so,
extra.
Web of Venom Funeral Pyre
this
is out.
Interesting.
This is crazy.
If you remember, there was a Venom had a sidekick at one point, and its name was Mayhem. What was it called? That's who this is.
Oh, I thought it was Pyre.
No, it's she's called something. Oh my god, I hit that thing again. No,
Jesus, I gotta get that thing out of your hands.
Okay, so
reach.
Yeah, you do. There was a comic that came out this week that was like a reprint issue that was like a symbiote, but it was like Malice or Magnus or like
one of those
Magnus Robot Fighter the symbiote.
Yes,
that's who this character is. But this is kind of like a horror-y, venom-y.
It's a very The Thing-y. Mm. Like, there's a lot of, like, there's some direct Thing moments in this with, like, bodies opening up and being full of teeth and
Mania.
Stuff. Fun.
That's what she was called.
Really?
Mania.
I do not remember that.
She also has a hell mark.
I remember a series called Pyre, called Funeral Pyre, in the 90s, a Venom series.
I don't know about that, but this character is from the 2000s. And she was called Mania, and she is. There's even like a recap in here where they talk about how like here she is being a sidekick to Venom right here.
There you are.
Anyway, Web of Venom, Funeral Pyre, which is a crossover to Web. What's it called? Web of Carnage. What's it called?
Web of Carnage.
Web of Venom.
Oh,
no,
Jesus,
Carnage though. But the Carnage, absolute Carnage.
Yes, absolute Carnage. Oh my god!
I hit it again.
I am so bad at my job. I don't remember anything.
There's so many different brandings.
Jesus Christ.
So many brandings.
So guys. Jane Foster, she is the Walkyrie in this new Walkyrie comic.
Don't make me laugh when I'm taking a sip of raspberry Twisted Tea.
Disgusting. I refuse to be sponsored by Twisted Tea.
I'm sorry.
By accident.
I mean non-raspberry Twisted Tea.
Yes, just I'll be sponsored by regular Twisted Tea. Just Jesus.
I always
not the raspberry one.
I always have a drink. And it's usually not raspberry Twisted Tea because that is a gross drink. But today that's all they had. So that's what I got.
Yuck.
And I'm not enjoying it. Although so, it does. Anyway, whatever.
It does have alcohol.
Walkyrie.
Walkyrie
is
about to die.
Jason Aaron and.
It's great. It's a continuation of the Lady Thor story, except now she's Valkyrie.
Did you see the last panel of that comic? Because that is a wacky last panel of a comic. If I ever saw a wacky last panel of a comic.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when like that thing that happens where the guy and the stuff and the...
Yes, that is... It's very Jason Aaron, though.
Yeah.
The only way it would be more Jason Aaron is if it was the orb.
Yep.
If the orb showed up and it was
or
just like, hey...
Ghost Rider on a mammoth or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Number one Marvel
Swordmaster.
Swordmaster.
Sword.
Oh wait, no. I'm not going to try to do any kind of rap. Although
the
word sword always reminds sword is pronounced sword, and that is thanks to the RZA.
The RZA, the Razor.
Anyway, Swordmaster number one is out, and it is a new Marvel superhero with sword powers.
Yeah, with Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi, isn't it? Who is going to have a movie.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Cool.
Yeah, this is cool. This is an interesting thing. This spins out of Agents of Atlas, I believe.
Oh.
From the new series that was all Asian characters. It looks really cool. It's done in more manga style, and it's... I assume this is probably just Marvel trying to push out into the Chinese market because they have... clearly made most of their money selling their movies to China, and so I think they're going to try to get a little bit more more Eastern focused comic lines, and I think that's what this is about. I don't think this one was for us, but it is very good. So
yeah, it was cool. Can we talk about Action Comics?
Totally.
Action Comics number 1013 is a tie-in to Event Leviathan and also Year of the Valanche. Year of the Bruce Valanche. It was cool. It's Rose and Thorn reintroduced to DC via Brian Bendis. I like Action Comics a lot. I did not love the art in this issue, but you can't win them all. It's a good story.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man number 26.
I like the new Syndicate.
Yeah, we've got we get the return of the foes of Spider-Man.
Sorta.
Kind of the deadly foes, but we also have female Electro. She's being invited into the new Syndicate, and she is pissed off. Whatever.
Yeah, no, it's the Beetle, the so it's the Sinister Syndicate, but it's all female characters now. And the art actually, I have to say, Brad Walker did the art on this, and I think it's the best art I've seen. And no offense to any of them, yeah. but I love the art in this comic.
It's great. It is really good.
Sorry, I shouldn't say best. I shouldn't make comparisons. I just really like Brad Walker, and I was happy
yeah,
with
no,
the
it's
art
really
on
good.
This issue, and the story
it's
was
really
fun.
Good.
And Spider-Man is playing poker with some villains, although that's kind of the cover gimmick more than the interior
yes.
of the comic.
Yep.
Dial H?
Please. I didn't actually read it.
So. Oh, I did. Dial H number 5 is actually literally the origin of the Dial H and explains how it ties into the 60s Dial H, and it was really cool. It also ties into literally every other DC comic book. It was pretty pretty heavy duty. The art was really cool, but you also have, so the kid that has the H dial, he learns about secret origins in this issue, and so you see like the secret origin of Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Green Lantern, all of them, Wonder Woman, they're all in there. But then also his own secret origin starts to unfold, and you also get an appearance from the original H dial guy, Robbie Reed, which was pretty cool. I really like Dial H. It's fun. I've seen some negative reviews of it, and I think that's a shame.
It's insanity.
Because it's just so fun and over the top.
I
Sam
don't
Humphreys,
know how it's
Quinones.
Possible.
It's really good. Shuri.
People must have something specifically against Sam Humphreys. They must be mad at him.
I don't
know how you could review that book poorly. It's so good.
It's really
so
fun.
Good.
It's just fun.
Yeah. So Shuri.
People hate fun.
They well, to be fair, people fucking hate fun. Shuri, number 10.
War on fun.
The resolution of the story with the little bug monster.
Oh yeah. Shuri, number
yeah,
10.
Great.
Cool.
It's I really enjoy the way that Shuri is they've done a really good job with a bunch of these new series, especially these ones that are not necessarily like teen characters, but I mean, I guess they are kind of teen characters like Shuri and Miss Marvel, where there's a lot of Star Trek-y kind of resolutions instead of being like Shuri's resolution isn't just throw it into the sun for this story arc.
Hmm.
You know, it's like, and I fixed it up and now things are cool. You know,
yeah.
like, it's like in Miss Marvel, the same kind of thing where you get these stories and it's like, oh, hey, she came to a cerebral answer. There was an actual plot
yeah.
that moved along, and instead of punching it into oblivion, there was still punching into oblivion, just like Star Trek in that same way, where, you know, you're going to shoot somebody eventually, but the overall thing is to think it through.
Yeah.
And it feels like a lot of these things are...
Well, and a character more, like Shuri should definitely have that be like...
Absolutely.
You know, just because she's... That's... Yeah.
But also it feels like it's a more emotional kind of story. It's a more like it's a more powerful feeling because they're trying to help.
Hmm.
And you can feel like in a Batman story, sometimes you miss the part where he's trying to help because he's getting a little too fucking aggro. and you're like, this guy kind of just gets off on breaking people's bones at some point. And it's with these, you kind of get the idea that there's some angst and there's some, I don't want to hurt you and I don't want to do these bad things. I want things to get better. And that's what Champions was all about. And I loved that idea.
Yeah.
And Champions was this, like, you guys just blow up buildings and fucking punch each other in the face constantly. Maybe we could do this better. And just a fun idea.
That was actually, and to dovetail off of that, but also kind of backpedal a little bit, I thought that was one of my favorite bits of Curse of the White Knight.
Yes.
Where he has Batman basically being like, I have every resource in the planet and I've completely failed. But the
yeah.
Joker, like, gets like... you know, like a different personality for like 5 minutes and totally like fixes everything in a way that like makes sense and is super concrete. And I'm really mad at myself. And he's having this conversation with Nightwing in that. And I thought that was just like, Batman
yeah.
should be saying that
exactly.
as opposed to like what's going on with the current mm-hmm. Batman series where it's just like, all right, now he's going to, I mean, and that's the nature of it, you know, the monthly. So
it
it's
is,
just, he
of
has
course.
To punch something every month or whatever.
Yeah.
But like,
and that's why these Elseworld stories are so important.
Yeah.
It's, you need to have the ongoings, but you also need to have a break from them. And it's nice. I mean, superstars get to shine in those moments. Like Sean gets to
yeah.
show off his chops, because somebody else has done a lot of legwork to keep this character on an even keel, writing readable stories about soap opera things where it continues and continues and continues and continues.
But if
he gets to make a finite story where, you know, Garfield dies at 7 years old, you know, whatever.
But Batman is introspective about his failed war on crime, because here it is, however many years later, and crime still exists. And he's just doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it's failing. So anyway,
And speaking of Magnificent Miss Marvel,
new costume.
She's got a new costume.
She's got a new costume.
She's still doing the John Carter Warlord of Mars thing.
Yeah.
Not really my favorite arc of hers. I hate space stuff, so I'm probably not the person to talk to about it. But
I think if you like Ms. Marvel, you're down with this. It's solid. Adamant is writing it. It's got good art. Good art, good writing. It's just, I don't particularly like.
Yeah, Salah and Ahmed is like one of my favorite writers, and I'm just not digging this arc.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about something else insane that dropped.
Yeah.
Just from out of nowhere.
A surprise.
An epilogue to Marvels.
Yeah.
So we've got
brand new Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross Marvels epilogue that came out today.
Absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
It just goes into like the era past Marvels, you know. Yeah. So it's like you get your Dave Crockerum X-Men and your 70s storylines a little bit, and kind of like a little bit of a emotional resolution for Phil. It was cool. I honestly flipped through it. I didn't really like.
It's nice that he gets. I mean, it wasn't necessary, but it's just nice to check in with him. In the Bronze Age, as he's hitting up this, like, you know, you get Nova and you get Storm and Logan and like all these characters that would not have normally been there. Like you said, Cockrum X-Men stuff. It's great, man.
Yeah, it was cool.
Obviously, if you read Marvels, you're going to be delighted to get another 20 pages of Marvels. That's it.
Yep. Guardians.
Oh, jeez.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Jeez, guys.
Number 7.
Come on, guys. This is a fun story. I'm enjoying the story. I just, some rough stuff in this one.
It's dark.
It's got some dark stuff.
I like the characters. It's nice to have Groot being like a more erudite verbally. and also being, like intuitive and intelligent. It's not, you know, I mean, I guess he always kind of was, but you had this like trope thing that kind of like prevented you from ever really understanding, you know, like, and so it kind of was always played for like a laugh, whereas now you have Groot being like, hey, Quill, there's some crazy stuff
going on that you need to know about. Go look at this.
Let's get over here right now.
Yeah,
but he still says Groot like third person. He just like has complete senses.
Yes.
I think that's a really smart Donny Cates move, but also this is the next the beginning of the next
story. I'm also enjoying the villains.
Yeah.
This is a giant crazy cult, space church cult with weird tentacles that are possessing people, and it's
a classic cool. Guardians villain.
Yep.
And a classic.
And also a really sad last page.
Oh yeah, it is. I'm going to briefly talk about Freedom Fighters number 7. I love Freedom Fighters. I think it's great. They didn't say Ratsy in this issue, at least as far as I saw. they really should say it every issue. But this is Uncle Sam is now back, and the Freedom Fighters are trained, but they fight the Nazi army of Nazi plastic men in this one. And it was a very well executed fight scene with some very creepily scary bad guys, because if you think about Plastic Man combining with like Goebbels or something like that, it's kind of like, that's not a good look.
No, there was something about the way that you said Goebbels that made me think of Pringles, like some sort of Nazi Pringle.
Yes, it was Nazi Pringles.
Fucking Nazi Pringles.
The Pringles man is actually a war criminal. I don't know if you knew that.
He just grew out the mustache to cover it up.
That's how he rebranded himself.
It all makes sense.
As Colonel Pringle.
God.
Sorry, we shouldn't continue
no,
down this path.
There's
what's
no,
next?
There's nowhere.
Glamorous
Glow,
ladies of wrestling.
Yes. Glow summer special.
I thought this was cool.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, I didn't really read it, but it looks cool.
It's fun stuff. You know, main character is wearing a Suicidal Tendencies shirt. That made
Ooh,
me happy.
Nice.
And then one of the side characters was wearing a TSOL shirt.
What?
I was like, oh, that's cool.
That's even deeper.
It's an even deeper cut. And speaking of which, Covered in Bees is playing with TSOL coming up in September.
What?
Yeah, TSOL. John from TSOL is getting a group together to do the first TSOL record.
Dang.
He's touring with it.
What does TSOL stand for?
True Sons of Liberty.
Oh, that sounds very...
Well, they're hippy dippy.
They're hippies?
Basically. They're, you know, hippie punks, but...
I never listened to T.O. so well.
Oh, that I'm first sorry. Record rules.
Cool.
Except for the weird country song.
Oh.
Yeah, that's... yeah, that's good. that one's good. They got a little glam rocky in the end.
Oh, see, now that's... I like glam rock.
You see, like 80s, like hair metal.
Oh.
Like he... basically, John left, and then I think... It all went to hell.
They were like, we got to put on makeup, spike up our hair,
yeah,
and
I
make
think,
a Cinderella-style
Yeah,
hard
the because they're from L.A., and the drummer for Guns N' Roses wore that TSOL shirt in the Sweet Child of Mine video, and then they were like, quick, let's get a cock rock album out. Fuck. capitalize on this.
Our five minutes of... close sort of fame.
Yep.
Justice
League Dark
is Justice League Dark. This is two stories, one of which is drawn by Mark Buckingham, which I was like, that's cool. It's really kind of like the fallout from that last big storyline with the Lords of Order. I still think Justice League Dark is the best Justice League comic.
Still got that stupid tag for the big villains.
Yeah, it does. Villains they all do. Day. All the DC books this for this month have this like kind of like bit at the end where the version of Lex Luthor that's half Martian shows up and convinces supervillains to be extra villainous. you know,
be more bad.
Just how about I just answer every unknown question you've ever had and make you more powerful at the same time?
Okay.
You know, I. What was I going to say? Oh, I have to say this. There's an ad for Year of the Villain. I'm going to toot my own horn.
Okay.
There's an ad in the DC Comics. So if you're a fan of comics and you're a fan of DC Comics in particular, and you've seen this poster sized image, Year of the Villain, and it says, who are the infected? And it's a big poster sized image with a bunch of DC characters. I'm going to say this. I looked at it today, and there is a way that you can view this thing. There's a very specific thing that will tell you who they all are. It's in there. It is a... If I figured it out, it's actually got to be pretty obvious, because I'm not, like, really, like, the deepest. But it's like, if they were trying to make it a mystery... They did a really bad job, because there was some solicits that came out, and you know who a couple of them are, but like I noticed this thing and I was like, wait, what if it's all these? And then I looked and like it totally checks out. There's like, you can figure out who they all are from that poster, and that means that they'll probably change the storyline, which means that halfway through they'll be like, oh, everyone figured it out, so now we have to change it. And then
they don't care.
Yeah, no, they don't care. But whatever. if you want to figure out who the infected are, just, you know, ask yourself what certain things are common about the things in that poster, and you'll figure it out pretty quick.
And also ask yourself what Jesus would do.
I won't.
Too bad.
I refuse. Because he would tell me to be, I don't know.
What would he say?
He'd say something about a Samaritan. he'd say, blessed are the meek.
Yeah. Those are all pretty good things.
Those are true.
Not really my thing.
We should embrace the teachings of Jesus.
You know what?
Didn't
you
we talk
me.
About becoming Christian last,
that's it.
Last episode?
You know
what's
what?
Going on with us?
That's it. From here on, we are a Christian podcast.
Christian podcast.
Let me just tell. All right. So Fearless, the fiercest ladies of the Marvel Universe, are uniting for one
uniting?
Issue.
Is that only one issue?
No.
I think it's a series. It has Storm, Invisible Woman, and Captain Marvel, and it is a story with them.
It is. I have zero idea as to whether or not this is going to continue. At the end, it says the end !
It does. But then...
Did I order a number two for this? I don't remember. Guys, I fucking suck at my job.
You don't. Here's a thing, though. So it does say the end ? But then there's this storyline at the end that's by Kelly Thompson, who is awesome. And it's 3 pages long, and it has Elsa Bloodstone and a thing that is really entertaining. And honestly, like, the entire issue should have been that. Did you see the last page?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, the entire issue, if it were that, I'd man. Have been like all about it.
Guys, bring back X-Babies is all I'm saying.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, yeah.
That's all I want. Is that too much to ask?
All I want is to feel this way. Read X-Babies today.
X-Babies. Martian Manhunter is out, and it's a fight on a pig farm.
It is. It is actually literally a fight on a pig farm.
There's a human trafficking ring running out of a pig farm where you can feed the people to the pigs.
There's a fight juice. I think it's actually called fight juice. I'm not sure, but it involves.
It used to be called Four Loko, but then it got banned, and now it's called fight juice.
So I've been following the Martian Manhunter series, and the last couple issues have got a little esoteric for me. This one is right back in it. I'm down. I'm back on Martian Manhunter. This one was great. It's all about the his secret identity and his partner, his detective partner, and them taking down this fight ring on the pig farm. It was just. Honestly, it's just really good. It was one of my favorite comics
cool.
of the week.
Weatherman. Volume 2, number 2.
This went completely bonkers. And this comic was kind of bonkers before. This one, they were on Mars in the first series, and now they're going back to Earth, and they're looking for this specific person. But you get to find out why Mars was colonized and what's going on Earth. And let's just say... It's pretty crazy.
Yes.
Also, my new favorite two characters are, they have, hold on, it's called, their names, Pace and Pickles.
Aw, Pickles.
So it's a girl who has a gun that shoots black holes.
Cool.
Which is cool. like a young girl, I should say. Like, when I say girl, I mean like a young girl. And then she's riding this like space blue space dog that's like huge. It's like kind of like Lockjaw, but like just in terms of his size. And so her name is Pace, and its name is Pickles. And Pace and Pickles need their own series, like literally, like tomorrow.
My wife wouldn't let me name any of our cats Senior Pickles, and it makes me sad. Anyway, Skyward number 15 is the last.
It's the last issue of the series
of Skyward.
They're saying they might try to do like a volume 2.
They got an option for a series. They don't give a fuck.
They did. Wait, they did?
I think so.
Oh, that's cool.
I think it's already been optioned.
That's cool. This is a great series. I'll miss it. Like I really like it. It got a little weird with the bugs after a while, but like
I loved the bugs part.
It's cool. I mean, it was cool. Yeah. And they end it on a like a. It's just good. It's got a Lee Garbett, best art of his career, and he's been around for a long time. I really just super dug the visual style and storyline of the comic Skyward, and I will miss it. Number 15, out this week, last issue.
All right. So we've got Books of Magic number 10.
Yeah. It's continuing.
It's a continuing story.
I feel really bad because I would love to be more into this comic, but for some reason I'm just kind of not.
Yeah, it's not
bad. It's great. Tom Fowler's drawn it. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like, he's great.
I haven't had the time to read it.
I feel like I already read it. You know, it's like, that's kind of the thing is it's just like, it feels weird to me that like you had this like long series with Tim Hunter and he did all this stuff. And now they're just kind of like, here's Tim Hunter again, doing kind of similar stuff that he did before, but just again. And
he's just doing it again.
But it has really good art this time.
Because there it is. It's like his dad is like half comatose in a chair while he's out and being humiliated by the girls who won't, who don't want to know that he's magic. And like,
well, he, all these, the moments. Girl is the one that he was trying to rescue, and then she was kidnapped by someone with magic, and then he tells, well, I mean, whatever. I mean,
yeah. But basically, you are talking about pretty much the original, like, if he burns to death in that chair, then this is going to be the original fucking series.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, it's interesting. I don't
know. It's, I mean, it's different. It's just kind of like, I don't know. Like,
it is different, but it's not different
enough.
It's
not different enough. Yeah. And also, like, before we get, like, in a spire of negativity, because we, I don't, we, that just ended up on the bottom. We should have talked about that a while ago.
Too bad.
I'm just going to say Terrifics is out, and for some reason, I'm still reading it. It's because Metamorpho is in it mainly, and Plastic Man, and I like them, and I like Mr. Terrific, but I just, that comic, if it's going to come out, needs to be better.
Batgirl.
Killer
Moth.
Yeah, Killer Moth.
Crazy,
and also the
artwork.
The Terrible Trio. It has really good art.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
Archie and Sabrina is out. That's Archie number 700 and something, and it's called Archie and Sabrina now for some reason. I guess because they're a couple.
Yep.
Archie versus Predator
Archie
2.
Archie versus Predator 2.
Number one.
Yeah.
Continuing the story from Archie versus Predator,
and she's included a bunch of stuff from the new Predator movie, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Okay,
the Predator dogs come in, which I thought was good. I love the I thought those were cool. Whatever. You know, it's Archie versus Predator. I'm excited. You know, Alex DeCampi writes a crazy story,
That's
so it's
cool.
gonna be fun.
Yeah, she's great. Brian Wood is also great, and he did Aliens Rescue, which is continuing with characters from his last Alien series. If you're looking for good Aliens comics, they've been coming out, and they're continuing to come out.
And if you're looking for my favorite book of the week,
this
and
ended
of the
up,
year and of for fucking ever,
this ended up at the bottom of the pile, and it really probably should have been. This was a big comic for the week.
This is obviously the biggest comic. This is Marvel taking the biggest swing with one of their biggest properties. This is House of X, number one. They are putting all of their fucking effort into revamping the X-Men, and they're fucking killing it.
Yeah, they did a great job. It was cool.
I love this book. This is what I want out of X-Men. I want crazy sci-fi. Honestly, it has felt kind of like the science fiction elements of the X-Men where you felt them in the 90s and the late 90s or early 2000s where I was really stoked on the X-Men. The science fiction was advanced enough that you were like, wow, that's supernatural and crazy science. And then as time went on, it was kind of like, oh, that's like kind of science. That's like, we've seen this stuff before. And I feel like they've taken the super science to a next level.
Yes.
And it's a crazy organic computer run by Krakoa. And it's really, love this.
Without going like overboard into it, basically Hickman has done what he does, and he has mapped out the universe in a way that is expansive, but also grounded. Like, there's a page in there. There's all these kind of like little Hickman-esque maps. But my favorite one was like, what does it mean to be an Omega level mutant? And then it like literally defines it, lists them, explains like why it's only them and not other ones. There's the cool thing you mentioned, Krakoa, but they basically, Professor X has, he was killed, but then he came back in Phantom X's body. So now there's like kind of like a young, sort of weirder looking Professor X who is like, how do we do something? How do we preserve ourselves? And it's almost like it's not just that isolationism that they've kind of touched on in the past, but it's also like capitalism. In a really smart, it's very smart as cool. It's a neat new. It is really a new era of X-Men, in the same way that Grant Morrison's era was a new era of X-Men. Yeah. And
absolutely,
like,
no question
Giant
that this
Size
is
was a new era.
This is a big fucking deal.
If they stick it, you know, if they really like are like, okay, we're doing this for 5, 6, 10 years or
I
whatever.
I think they
like,
are,
and if they are, then this is definitely giant size X-Men
yeah.
worthy.
Yep.
It certainly is a quality issue. It's not really like a really adventure-y thing.
No.
It's more of like a
but
ground
every moment.
But there's also like stuff where they kind of are like, here's what happened at this time and then this time. And it's like kind of you see levels of the story that have happened that are yet to happen. And it'll be cool to like if you're reading X-Men and you're into this, keep this issue out and continue to refer to it yeah. as time goes on, because I guarantee you like 6 months, year from now, there will be something and you'll be like, that's in number one, and you'll go back and you'll see it and it's like it's there.
Yep.
Like that's the kind of vision that's behind it.
And also Fallen Angels is going to be a big deal in this series,
God.
Apparently.
That is pretty cool. I love the Fallen Angels very, very much. The only thing I don't understand is why the only person who didn't get a cool new costume is Marvel Girl, who just started wearing her old 70s costume again.
That's a good question.
Yeah, like Cyclops' new costume is super awesome.
Magneto
like,
looks boss.
Yeah, he's got a cool like variant of his like last. Everybody's got a new look or a classic kind of look, but like then she's just wearing this green mini dress from the 70s. It looks super dated and weird, and I don't understand it. And I hope he kind of explains why. I mean, whatever. It's a nitpick, but
that's weird.
It is weird to me that happened.
Yeah, I hate that costume.
I don't hate it, but I just don't understand what logical reason there would be for a character to do that.
She just looks like a recolored Batwoman from the 60s.
Yeah, Batgirl even. Like, not even like the cool Batwoman. Batwoman had like a cat suit. She just has like a mini dress.
Fair.
Like, a mini dress is like literally the dumbest thing to wear in combat. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, it makes sense in 1967.
With like a crop, like a, yeah. like a low cut, like... I don't know. It's just not a good look.
No.
Anyway. Also, the mask is weird. Like, what's the point of the mask?
That mask
Everyone
so
knows you're Jean Grey.
That mask is so weird.
Yeah.
But
Wolverine's
again,
back in the brown suit, which I love. That's the classic yeah. Wolverine to me.
And all of it. Oh, honestly, all of it.
It is so good. There's a panel with Wolverine when you first see him that is just so wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Yeah.
If you want like an image that like says to you, like, here's where the X-Men are at right now
yeah.
at this moment. Like, it's
Perfect.
That panel with Wolverine when you, the
Perfect.
First panel where you see him.
Yep.
It's cool.
It's great. I literally can't say enough good things about this book.
Yep.
It's going to be enormous. It's funny because a lot of people, like I've seen a few other shops who were like, guys, I'm not noticing you guys pulling this book. It is going to be a big thing, and you're probably going to want it. Oh, God, what are we going to do? And so I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are going to look like for this, because it's going to be huge. Like, people want it. People in the last week, the number of people who've started coming in for, like, hey, am I going to be able to get a copy of that has been insane. So...
Yeah, I do. I will
say. We got a bunch, but I hope we got enough.
I will say, what is going on with the first two pages of this? I am very much interested in figuring that out.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, I think I know what's going on, but I'm not 100% sure.
Sort of? I don't know.
It might explain why they were killing so many people in that last series, how
yeah.
they were able to get away with killing everyone.
Yeah, it might. It very well might, actually.
It's interesting. I'm stoked. I'm so stoked. This is so good.
Yeah,
oh, God,
it's
damn
cool.
It.
There's definitely, I'm excited. And,
all you
and
have
I was
to do
actually,
is bring back Maggot, and it'll be the best thing ever.
Yeah, just, so like, for me, it's like there has to be some kind of Iceman contingent, and there is like a mention of him. Like, literally, like, a tiny mention of him, and I'm kind of like, what's going on with Iceman?
Wait,
in this
Bobby's
movie?
A fucking Omega level?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah. He has been. Like, he was one of the 12.
Oh, that's right.
Remember the 12? He was
I
one of them.
Remember that.
Like, he's a badass, and that's the thing that always bothered me, is he's my favorite X-Men character, and not just because, like, the name thing, although actually initially probably because of the name thing, but they always would drop these, like, he's the badass. Like, he's
yeah.
got this potential. And then they just, like, never fucking do
there
anything
such
with
a
it.
Good,
and it's just like...
There was that great issue where Emma Frost was like, Hold on.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to get into your brain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you what you can do, you fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
And then he was just like covered in spikes and was like manipulating the atmosphere and freezing people's blood. And like,
yeah. And then there was like another moment where they had a kind of a, was in the X-Men Forever series where he was one of the guys in that. And then like he was able to like regenerate himself from like a single drop of water. And like you realize he's immortal and this whole deal that's like crazy.
Yeah.
And then there was like that thing where he basically was able to like do Ice Hulk and like reform himself and have multiple bodies at the same time and all this shit. And then they just never do anything with it.
Yeah.
And the one thing that everybody talks about is that his, you know, his sexuality changed or whatever. And it's like, that's
but
fine,
he can do amazing.
Like, you know, he can do all this crazy, like he could literally take any of them out. Like any of them, anyone in Marvel, he could fight the Hulk. He could fight anybody. Like he's got like literally like the craziest, most versatile powers of anyone.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, I'm a goofball. I wear a bandana sometimes.
He does wear a bandana sometimes. You got to give him that.
You do. I mean,
anyway,
if you're honest,
you're gonna have to admit he does wear a bandana.
You do have to admit it. Anyway,
So those are the comic books. There's some other stuff. There are a few trades, a few interesting
things.
I
forgot to photograph them, so I don't remember.
Interesting little crossover. We got some Stranger Things D&D sets.
Oh yeah, those
are
neat
fun.
Looking, and they have
like
little Demogorgon figurines.
Like, it's like a Stranger Things adventure, I think, as well. I think that's the
There was a very distinct Dungeons and Dragons tie-in to every season of
Stranger Things, or at least
the first one and the third one.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. There's a bunch of other things. The Rad Wraith Kickstarter has come to an end, and I have been fulfilling as many things as I can. I actually have the comics on me, but I'm trying to get them out to all of the people who have backed it so that everyone feels like they got it first, because I don't want to make it available to everybody in the store and be like, well, then why the fuck did I back your damn Kickstarter?
Absolutely. I think that's cool.
So,
except for you didn't tell me about it, so I didn't get
mine.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'll get it. I'll stop in for it tomorrow.
Yeah, so there are those things. And so if you supported the Kickstarter, look for your stuff pretty soon. Hopefully I'll get everything out by the end of this week. Turns out it actually is pretty time-consuming to pack 170 things.
Oh, absolutely.
I was unaware that I could only pack about 20 boxes a day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're also running a store and working.
I'm also doing that, and I'm making the pins and the shirts and all that stuff myself. So,
Wait, the enamel pins?
The enamel pins someone else makes, but also I made for the early birds. I made 4 pins for a pin set, so I had to make 100. Times 4, so 400 of those.
Jesus.
Which
was
kind of a pain in the butt. But yeah, so, you know, lots of that stuff. But thank you all so much. And signed copies of White Knight at the shop.
Get them.
We got a bunch. Definitely people are already picking them up online, and we haven't even really made the thing available yet. It's currently like 9:30 at night, so but we'll try to keep a decent stock of those up on the website.
Also, if you want those variant covers of House of X, get in early.
Yeah, we only have a small pile of those.
Yep.
So there you go. Awesome. And we do have all the variants for House of X up online as well.
Oh,
yes. All right.
All right.
Thank you guys so very much. Have a good evening.
Bye.